This is
KUT.
KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop. I used to get mad at my school. Teachers had taught me when cool. Holding me down, turning me around, filling me up with your room. Have to admit, it's getting better. A little better all the time. Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. I've got to say, I'm surprised today.
Why?
I'm looking at you. Usually when you and I are taping, you're...
I know what you're going to say.
Go ahead.
That I wear black and gold.
There you go. And I don't see any. I see blue. You're in a blue mood.
So here's...
Very bejeweled.
Well, so two things. First of all, my eyes are blue, and I'm always told that blue brings out my eyes. But second of all, that black and gold shirt, I lost a button on it and haven't... I haven't sewn it back on yet.
If anyone had any doubt that this was a live, without unscripted thing, now they know.
So that it is sitting in my pile of things to do at home. There it is. And that's the absolute truth.
I'm sure it is. You couldn't make that up.
So right. I will get right on that.
I didn't mean to generate a sore spot.
By the next time... We're together. I will have worked on that.
Wonderful.
Now, I think you're really going to like this episode because I think this is a topic that is really right up your alley.
Great.
And also actually is the gateway to kind of a larger discussion. But let me read you. This came in from a listener. This was from Christopher, who writes, I am in the process of pursuing a PhD in pure mathematics. Go, Christopher. I did not begin studying mathematics seriously until about 2 years ago at 30 years old. I originally studied classical piano performance and pursued a career as a pianist. But long story short, I decided that it wasn't what I wanted to do. Again, hooray. Good for Christopher. So I decided on becoming a mathematician. A topic that I would love to hear discussed is becoming a mathematician later in life. What type of advice you, Ed, may have for such people, and possibly your advice for effective self-study. A lot of questions in there.
Right. Well, first of all, it's great to be talking to another Luntzman. You know, here's someone who has found his way to mathematics, and I think that's wonderful. And I think that there really is no bad time. I don't think math is a young person's sport by any means. Although it's interesting, traditionally, the highest honor that one can realize in mathematics in the world is called the Fields Medal. And this is an award that's given out, and the longstanding tradition is it's given to world-class mathematicians, the best in the world, under the age of 40.
Ah.
So from that vantage point, there actually is a shelf life on one's career. So Christopher has to hurry up if he really wants to get in line for a Fields Medal, because he only has a few years left. It's interesting. There's a focus that's involved in all areas of study, but I can just speak personally to mathematics. There is an intensity of focus in mathematics to truly understand the most basic things in the most deep possible way. And the deeper you go, the more nuanced it becomes. That's where mathematics lives. People think mathematics lives like in the sky. It really doesn't. It lives at that kind of micro level where you're constantly probing deeper and deeper and trying to understand truth within a mathematical context. You're proving theorems. People think, you know, what do you do as a research mathematician? Are you just solving equations? There are a lot of equations involved, and that's the language that we speak, and people do solve equations in the world of differential equations and mathematical modeling. But really, at the end of the day, it's trying to discover proof, which normally means you are establishing a declarative sentence to be true through a logical mathematical proof. And that is where you become an artist. The fact that Christopher is a pianist is going to be a great help to him. Recognizing pattern, figuring out what comes next, that's the same type of creativity involved in pushing the frontiers of mathematics forward. But it is hard and requires a lot of focus. So it's a challenge at any age, but the most important thing that you need, the requisite skill, is a passion and a commitment. I say that if you want to get a PhD in mathematics, talent is second to tenacity.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And I'm living proof of that because I didn't have a lot of talent, but I was tenacious and I kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and that's how you realize success. Most of the stuff that mathematicians do doesn't work. I mean, we would talk about failing. I learned about failing through my own career, my profession. Mathematicians are expert failures. We fail about 99.9% of the time, and that's liberally. Probably it's a lot more. And then that 0.1% of the time, we understand something, it leads to a new observation, it leads to a new theorem, and we publish it, and people are of interest, and it moves the frontiers forward. But you've got to fail a lot to get there. So you need that tenacity.
Now, Christopher also wanted to know if you have some advice for effective self-study. And I'm assuming by that he means sort of pursuing some of the studying on his own or outside of whatever the formal education program will look like for a PhD in pure mathematics.
So I don't know how he's pursuing his degree. If he's going through a traditional graduate program at a university somewhere, then my advice is to follow that curriculum. And if you have extra time, Christopher, to explore things, I would suggest that early on in your graduate career, you don't do that as much as try to double down on whatever it is. So if you have some additional intellectual energy that you feel you want to apply somewhere, challenge yourself to go deeper in the subjects that you're studying. And the basic fields of pure mathematics are abstract algebra, real analysis, or analysis, I should say, in real and complex analysis. So algebra, analysis, and topology are the three main fields. Focus on those, discover those, see how deep you can go. And then as you come out of that deep experience, then you can start to explore different areas and discover my passion is number theory, which crosses over a few, actually all of those basic areas.
I would say if you have extra sort of intellectual energy, I would say sleep.
By the way.
Or rest.
Yes.
If you have extra sort of space in your life
but
as
this
getting
is
a PhD.
This is excellent advice, Jennifer. I mean, you have to make sure that you are thinking clearly, and that does mean your body and exercise. Rest and exercise are both really important, and they're keys to success. I never stayed up late. I never pulled an all-nighter in graduate school. God knows. I would go to sleep, and I'd watch Johnny Carson and then go to sleep.
And then go to sleep.
Of course.
All right, Ed. So in this episode, it is time for a new puzzler. So we are ready.
Well, this is great because I actually brought a classic puzzle.
Oh, good.
And so in maybe an honor, I will dedicate this to Christopher because
okay.
He's kind of moving his career around. This is a question that I have heard, former students have told me, employers ask on interviews. I have not been on a lot of job interviews. I think I've been on 2 job interviews in my whole life. How many job interviews have you been in your life?
Oh, goodness. A lot.
Really?
More than 2.
Well, then maybe you've heard this puzzle because apparently employers ask this to see how clever you are.
Okay.
So this is a classic puzzle, and I will dedicate this to Christopher. And the question is, why is it better to have round manhole covers than square ones or triangular ones?
Okay.
Why is a manhole cover round? And that apparently is a question that employers ask to see how clever people are.
I think I have heard similarly, maybe urban myth, that gets asked.
No, it's not urban myth.
It does get asked.
Students have come to me and said, I went on that interview and they asked me this question. So this is not urban. This is
it happens.
It is a rural truth, not an urban myth. I guess the opposite of an urban myth is a rural truth.
Or it is asked. All right,
asked.
And you have the definitive answer for us?
Of course. And so I'm sure Christopher does as well.
Okay, great. Well, I look forward to that in the next episode.
Thank you.
Now, Ed, I think another interesting thing about Christopher's email and his questions are sort of, if we step back and look at it bigger picture, I'm curious if you have some thoughts for anybody who is contemplating doing what Christopher has done, which is to go from one field where he kind of had put his energy and his time and his pursuits and made, you know, a pretty big change to a different field. I do think it's sweet that he said late in life.
And he's 30.
30.
Yeah, that I noticed that too.
You know, what would you say to somebody who was kind of maybe going through what Christopher obviously very successfully went through, which was to be thoughtful and decide to make a really significant change?
Well, in one word, I would say bravo. I mean, this is the point of the kind of education that we're talking about. Openness to change and evolution, and as your interests change, to be agile enough to move in that direction. But it's easy to say. I mean, it's easy to read Christopher's email. This must have been a very, very difficult decision for him, as it is for all people who decide to take this existential risk in leaving success, leaving a comfort zone, and going into the wilderness of uncertainty and newness. But to me, he is a role model for what we should all be doing as we try to always try to regenerate and recreate ourselves into the evolutionary journey that is ourselves. But it's hard to do. And so my word is bravo. But my advice is that this is not easy. And that if there are people, if there are listeners out there who are considering this, they need to weigh that risk reward and decide if it's within their boundaries of taking that risk. But if they're truly passionate about it, generically, without knowing any details, it's just such an exciting opportunity and such an exciting possibility.
You know, we have also talked before about not necessarily going whole hog. If you're in sort of profession or career A and you think, oh man, I'm really feeling a pull to maybe switch to career B, there are points between A and B. You know,
absolutely.
Take a class, do an internship, find some ways to sort of play around with it before you take the big step.
And we don't know anything about Christopher, but I could say that, listen, he might still be playing at some really nice piano bar.
Sure.
And earning an income, and so keeping that side of his interests alive as he experiments and plays with the world of mathematics.
Well, and Ed, thank you for always helping us keep our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu and keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News.